Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network presents The Contra Dawn Show with your host, Dawn Appleberg.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, welcome on this wonderful, supposedly summer day. Some of you are enjoying a lot of sun over here in Washington. It's still thinking it's winter. So, Julie's on the phone for me for a little bit today. I'm kind of scared because we haven't had a technological difficulty yet. Everything's going smooth.
Yeah.
All right.
Just
so,
wait. Give me 5 minutes.
Yeah. What we're talking about today is something that has kind of fallen off the radar because you don't have any of the hype anymore. You don't have any of the pressure anymore. But it's something that everybody really needs to readdress and think about and be concerned about because it affects every individual, whether they were for or against whichever side they chose during this particular fiasco. And I'm talking about the Bundy fiasco. Going to back up a little bit to go ahead and kind of explain the chronological that went on with this and why this was not what everybody thought it was. There was a lot of people who thought it was about taxes, and a lot of people thought it was about fines and fees and that the Bundys were cheating us, but actually, no. Back in the 1800s, there were 32 different families that settled in the Nevada area right there and the states that, meet up there. And they were all grazing. This was during the time frame where they first started the rancher wars, when the, barbed wire starts going up and they start segregating their properties right before then. Well, generations later, what happened was, hey, Tim, glad to see you can join us. What happened was the Bureau of Land Management began to bully, harass, kill the slaughter the livestock by poisoning the wells or burning them out, and basically make life so difficult that one by one, the families either sold out or gave up and moved, or they literally ended up dying out. And it all went down to one family left, the Bundys, and they just happened to be one of the most stubborn out there. They refused to give in. The land that they had been, the land that they've been using at that point was not federal land, and I want you to understand this. That land was public land. Difference. As we have determined prior, looking at the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and looking at the laws of land at the federal level, the federal government cannot own land outside of the D.C. area, which is the federal capital. It's not even a state. It's a province. Or a military, federal military institution, or a federal building. And technically, all the federal buildings are supposed to be leased from the state. They're supposed to be paying the state to use them, and it's supposed to be state property. That went away in the 50s. However, so the land that we're talking about is not federal land. It's public land that they had been using for generations. Harry Reid had decided he wanted to go ahead and build a solar panel farm on that land. As a matter of fact, several years prior to this whole culmination at the Bundy Ranch, he had proposed it and he put in the bid for the land at the federal level, which the government had just basically snatched from us. They pretty much eminent domain, we took it, that's ours now, and now we're going to sell it to whoever we wish. So Harry Reid wanted to go ahead and have that land. I guarantee you, if no Congress individual or Senator individual had determined they wanted, you're fine, Porky, you're fine, don't worry about it. By the way, guys, we're talking to people in our chat room. Porky Reel happens to be our faithful, ever so faithful listener from Northern Ireland, Slante. And, you know, we appreciate him listening in. He can tell you himself, if he so chooses, how many rights we have that they don't. For instance, the first time I met Porky, we were talking about the fact that he cannot own any type of firearm, period. Popping them on to you, too. All right, so what happened with the Bundys is that they first started by shutting off their rights to water. They would literally block off water rights. So if they were grazing their cattle, they would not allow the cattle to go drink out of the water because they were saying that the water rights belonged to the federal government and the water was supposedly used for emergency purposes or for downrange estuaries. Anyway, by the way, Porky, Tukey 2 is Julie. So anyway, so make a long story short, what happened is the Bundys took down the fences. They were going by their original decree that they had been dealing with, and they were still allowing their cattle to go on that same land that they had allowed them to go for four or five generations, okay? So the government decided to up its game. What the government started doing at this point was harassing the cattle and stressing the cattle. So they were actually fly-bying the cattle with planes, and the cattle would scatter, and they'd end up stressed and dying of dehydration because they were too far out for them to go ahead and gather up. When the word went out to already fed-up constitutionalist patriots and conservatives that, you know, we've already been pushed to a breaking point at this point by a corrupt government, as you all well remember, when the word went out that they were coming in to arrest the Bundys and take their property and sell their cattle, their property being the cattle. They were coming in, forcibly removing their cattle off their private land and selling it at a couple of slaughterhouses against the Bundys' will.
They were just shooting them, too.
Yes, they were. They were shooting them. They were burning them. They were torturing the animals. Go ahead, Julie.
Nope, that's... they were dropping them where they stood out there on that property, too.
Right. So basically, they were going to steal the cattle, and they were going to go ahead and sell it at different slaughterhouses. That's when the call went out for help. Now, I'm not going to touch a lot on what happened at the Bundy Ranch per se right now, because that could be a completely different story. I mean, I can do an entire two-hour show on the pros and cons, the misdeeds, and the incredible... fallacies that we learned as a patriot or a conservative group or entity, but I'm going to keep it as short as possible. The word went out, and the first people to reach out to the Bundys, unfortunately, happened to be an extremist group who has in the past wanted to go ahead and incite violence with the government in order to go ahead and start a revolutionary war where they could then physically overthrow the government. They'd go in, they could arrest them themselves, they could go ahead and then put their own government into place. Now, ironically, as we discussed with other groups of extremism, that in and of itself is unconstitutional. Now, if we, you know, the taking over, you know, a corrupt government and dismantling it is not, because we're told we're allowed to do that when tyranny stands, but you can't just put in place who you want. You have to go through the system. So even if they had been able to do what they were thinking of, to put in place their own president and Congress without going to the people and getting a vote, even temporarily, would have been illegal and would have been unconstitutional. So in and of itself, Operation Mutual Aid, or OMA, was wrong. They so happened to be the first ones that showed up on site. I'm not going to use names here because that's a completely different story, unless it comes to the Bundys themselves. All right. Like I said, that's going to be a different show, people. So, Operation Mutual Aid shows up. I, at that time, was part of a government watchdog, if you will.
Now,
yeah. Kiddo. What?
You're cutting out. You're better.
I was part of a government watchdog group called Glass Antler. last anniversary, what we did is that we shifted through the BS and we shifted through the conspiracy theorists and we found out what the truth was. So, what happened was when I heard Operation Mutual Aid, which we had run into quite often, and we had managed to go ahead and circumvent, quite often, twice, which were attempted bombings. When I found out they were on their way, I called instantly. So what happened is I got a hold of their leader, and I wanted to know exactly why they were there and what their plans were. And he told me point blank that they were there to incite a riot. They were going to get as many conservatives there as possible, and they were going to physically arrest all the BLM individuals, force them to their knees, remove their firearms from them, and then he dwindled off. He didn't explain anything more. He didn't have to. Right there, I knew what the problem was. And I told him, you're going to start a war. You're going to cause bloodshed. And his answer to me was, at that time, so be it. That's when we activated. And we started putting out calls to all the militias and all of the conservatives who supported and all the preppers saying, hey, we cannot let this happen. We have got to get people in there. We've got to stop it. So with that, the BLM removed themselves from the premises. The next day there was kind of a hostile charge off, if you will, where everybody's seen the pictures of the sniper up on the bridge, and you know everybody's talking to each other. But the BLM agreed at this point to walk away and come back another day. The next step of what happened was that they started talking about closing down land to the public in Utah, Sandstone area. So what did their Bundys do? They grabbed their loyal supporters, they went to Utah, and they did some ATVing out there in the public land to declare and show the government this is not their land, this is the public land. Now, it doesn't matter if you agree with them or not at this point. I'm just giving you a chronological, and when we wrap this up, you'll understand why this is so important. Nothing was done at that point by the government. Made some headlines, and then went away. A very solid, small, hardcore group that was still hanging on to OMA took over the wildlife refuge in Oregon. Now, when I say took over, you have to understand the thing was closed down for the season. It wasn't like they went in guns blazing and held people hostage. They walked into an empty building and squatted. That's all. They didn't threaten any of the locals. They didn't do any of the radical stuff that the government claimed they did. They just went in, put out a couple of videos saying, hey, we're here and we're not leaving. And then talked to a couple of the local community about where the BLM had bullied them. And what started to emerge was a pretty terrifying story. The BLM has been caught beating elderly couples on video with paperwork saying, you will sign this or we will kill you. And it didn't matter if you were Native American or if you were American or if you were of the Mexican descent at the border. If they wanted your land, they took it.
I've seen those videos. I have some on there.
I talked personally to a granddaughter of a woman who is blinded now because they hit her so hard in the head. She never signed the paperwork, but guess what? There's a signature on the paperwork, people. They have lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit going back to the 70s. And we did nothing because it doesn't affect the average American. But it does. Because the land they're taking is the land that's raising your cattle that you eat when you have a barbecue. It's the land that runs the water that eventually makes it down to your facility in order for you to have water.
And they're closing
the land that
recreational
they're taking and selling to foreign entities is land that we used to own as citizens and now are being barred from. If you look at a map of how much land the government actually owns at this point illegally once more, and this includes the foreclosures, bank-owned foreclosures, because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, it is a terrifying 75%
known. That does not even include the backdoor deals we don't know about.
They're doing
that is not state
here.
Land. That's
you
federal.
See it up here.
Yes, Washington State sees it. We're
crazy.
Facing right now a ridiculous water bill about water rights. That would really
cripple.
Well,
there's lots of land now, too, where we used to be able to hunt and go up four-wheeling or mushroom picking or all that. It's all closed off. They're starting to throw train tracks up here where they closed off old logging communities and things. Now they're opening again. They're barricaded off. They've got military guarding them, saying you can't come in, but if you go up over the hill, we take horses around, you can watch them from the thing. They're rebuilding all these places, and they've got military groups in there doing we don't know what, but there's a lot of activity.
And there's
here.
A lot of the back fire breaks and old country roads back there that are now closed off. You can't go to anymore.
Right. It's a bunch. There's a bunch, and it's and
now,
there's
here's
convoys
the scary part.
And stuff all the time.
Here's the scary part. They're now telling us when and where and how we can fish, which they have been on a regular basis, of course. But it's gotten to the point now. Last year, I took out a steelhead and salmon license for my kids to go fishing. And we were supposed to fill it out with whatever we caught and turn it in. We ended up not being able to go. I contacted Fish and Game Wildlife, and I told them we didn't go. We canceled our plans. Here's my canceled reservation. They told me if I did not turn in a blank form showing I did not use it, that I was going to have someone come to my door with a warrant. I want that to sink in. I'm letting them know, and I still have proof I didn't get to go. And yet they still wanted a blank form back, and if I didn't turn it in, it would give them the right to search my home.
See if you have any salmon.
We didn't go, period.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they're going to come in and say, you have a fish in your freezer, we're arresting you.
Oh, yeah.
You could have bought that from Safeway.
Mm-hmm. But that's beside the point. Not from what you're saying. What you're saying is that if they would have found it, and I even if I had proof that I bought it, they could still arrest me. Yes. Going back to the Bundy situation, here is why this is really scary. When they arrested them, well, actually, I skipped a critical part of this and something that still has left the community reeling to this day. There was a group of those that were over at the sanctuary that had made plans to go in town to a town hall meeting and talk to the citizens and hear their grievances against the government and hear how they had been treated and what they could do together to help. On the way there, they were stopped. An unarmed man got out of the vehicle and was executed in cold blood by the FBI. LaVon was killed in cold blood.
Of course he was.
They will not release the FBI agents' names at this point. They just say there's an ongoing investigation. There was a minor in the car when they opened fire. So, everybody else, they either left or they did not resist when they were arrested. They turned themselves in. They ended up at the local facility where they were immediately turned over to the federal facility. They are still being held to this day in federal prison. Even though they've had most of the charges dismissed or overturned because there isn't enough evidence to validate them, the only charge they really could they have against them that can stick, trespass on a federal land and squatting.
And they were cleared, and that one judge overruled the clearing and
that is correct.
Kept them in there.
They were cleared. They were on their way out when a judge decided that they had not seen justice. She overturned it on her own. Now realize, they were cleared by jurors. And the judge said, no, I disagree with the jurors. I'm overturning the clearance. And with the next trial coming up, there will be no talk of the Constitution, your equal rights, civil rights, freedoms. Now, we had a few that were released. We had the reporter that was released. We had another individual that was released. There was two other individuals that were released, actually. However, scary reports started to surface, and they have been verified. While in prison, the Bundys have gone without food, without water, in isolation. Ammon Bundy was beaten multiple times. I mean, this is a scene right out of the 50s when it came to the civil rights movement, and some innocent black man was arrested for something he didn't do, and the good old boys took care of him.
Well, and they've
it's
been
still going on,
water,
but now it's
and they said that we can just send him off to the hospital and get him resuscitated. It's cruel, and it's torture, and it's
and it's unusual. Yeah, it's cruel and unusual punishment. It's torture. And the reason why, and I know I'm going to have people listening to this saying, well, they had it coming, they instigated. It is every American's right to a speedy and fair trial. It is every American's right to be tried by their peers. It is every American's right that when you're in prison, you will not be treated like an animal, that you will be treated with the minimum decency, such as food, water, medical. I mean, my heck, if you get somebody who's going to death row, they sanitize the needle before they stick it in to make sure he doesn't get an infection. They cannot find charges against these people. They're still shifting through Facebook, and they're still shifting through comments to find something hardcore enough to charge them, and no one has recused the judge. Now, what if this was your child, your husband?
What if it's you?
What if it been your brother?
They
got into a fight with the government over land because they had bought their land legally, they had done what they were supposed to do, they had rights to it, and the government decided, nah, not anymore. We're taking it now. Would you just roll over and give it to them? That's what's been going on. Now, the reason this is such a critical aspect is because the Bundys aren't the only ones being held right now. Across the nation, we have over 35 individuals that are identified as quote-unquote militia or preppers or right-wing individuals. Some of them, their crimes were as simple as building a dock on their own property at their own pond. Others for creating ponds on their property. Others for collecting rainwater on their property. And they're rotting in jail. They had a mountain man who had survived for quite some time off-grid. And he was showing other people how he did it. He was of sound mind. He's been incarcerated for refusing to vacate the land that he owned because they said it didn't have a decent dwelling on it. He chose to live in a cave. Well, it's his land. We allowed the government at this point to have so much control over our property, our values, and our lives that we literally have handed them the keys to our freedom. So whether you agree with the Bundys or not, their story is one of severe caution. It can happen to anyone. I right now would love to go ahead and be a foster mother. I really would. My kids are old enough that I think that they'd be able to handle it if we had young ones or emergency placements. I can't. Why? Because I choose not to vaccinate my children for every single vaccination out there. And two, because we have firearms on the property. I would have to remove my firearms, allow the state to come in to go ahead and inspect my home, and I'd have to get my children fully vaccinated to include the flu shot, the chickenpox, the shingles. You know, a lot of them are coming out now, and they're saying that there are issues. And if I didn't, after I signed up being a foster parent, CPS could then step in and say I'm at risk to my kids. We need to, as a country, start looking out for each other, and we need to stop the madness. That judge in Oregon, she should be recused. She should lose her bar. And yet no one's doing anything about it. Oh, there's a lawsuit against him by the Bundys. But it's not going to go anywhere for years. We have others sitting in prison where the federal government arrested them when the local authorities refused to because they found the charges to be trivial. This is not a scare tactic. This is not V for Vendetta science fiction. This is fact, and it's happening. So my question to you, what are you going to do about it? I personally have gotten involved. I know others have personally gotten involved, but not enough for it to make an impact. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and take a sanctuary. I'm not telling you to stare down the Apache helicopter. I'm not telling you to pick up a firearm. But writing, petitioning, demanding goes a long way. For instance, that judge should have a bullseye on her professional career. Not on her. No violence. But her professional career should be over. And we all could do that. How has she hurt? How many other individuals has she violated? The bottom line is we take the small steps and they lead to greater ripples. For those of you who are still not convinced, I want you to think about something. Just do yourself a favor. Look up your local news. Look up landowner issues and see what it says. How many cases against the government which were either recused or redacted, which means that a lot of the information was blotted out because they considered it classified, or were flat out speed trial and they lost, it'll wake you up. Any questions? We're talking land rights here, and just to let you guys know, in the chat room, they're talking 5.56 and other firearms. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, John was right. This wasn't going to be a full-hour show.
Yeah.
All right, so I think I can go ahead and slide into another topic here real quick and cover for the rest of the time. The glorified March of Impeachment Calls. Has anybody yet figured out what I said last week and then realized that this whole thing about impeachment is nothing more than a cry for attention from a dying party? I've had a couple people ask me why I think that Trump is allowing this to go forward with the special FBI investigation. It's simple. He's making the DNC do the dirty work to find out and out those individuals who have been against him from the beginning. And when they do out them, they're going to be the ones with the egg in the face. It's not going to be Trump going to the public saying, hey, this is the guys that have been doing this. Yeah, it's okay. Reading chat. Anyway, it's going to be the DNC coming out saying, we didn't find anything on Trump, really, but we did find this person and this person and this person who circumvented the system to go ahead and try to sabotage him, and we really can't do anything about it. That's the whole reason Trump's allowing it. Meanwhile, what you haven't been hearing in the news are the different things that are going on. For instance, if you look at the BLM situation, right now there is a bill that is in front of Congress to vote on critical bill protecting property owners from BLM and Red River dispute. This actually came out now. And what this bill is, it's going to cover a lot of us, and it's basically going to be where the BLM can no longer just come in and use eminent domain or bullying tactics against landowners. Now, this is part of that whole push that Trump has to go ahead and shut down government entities that are either defunct, bloated, or being used specifically to target and harass American citizens. There is speculation the BLM may not exist by the time we're done, because at this point the BLM is pretty much duplicating a lot of work that we have others doing. So, and there's nothing more than the bully on the block. So, as far as the water right one that we were talking about, I need to get a hold of Matt Shea, and I'll report my next show what he found out about it for Washington and Idaho. So, any questions? Anyone? All right. So, if you guys are interested in finding out more about the whole Bundy-Oregon standoff, New American, it's the www.thenewamerican.com. Look up Oregon standoff, BLM's Burn 'Em Out Legacy, and it will tell you the entire story of from the time that they first settled in Utah and Nevada to the time to the standoff itself. So, anyways, I John
ran out
of me, but I think I'm going to go ahead and call it on this show.
Yeah.
And we will look forward to next show is going to be kind of lengthy because we're going to be dealing with a couple of things. Yeah, actually, Porky Panda does mean something to me. Why? Porky asked me a question in chat. And I think he's typing. Is he typing? I don't know.
Are you
podcast. Yes, it does. There's multiple things panda means to me. For those who don't know, the four different things that panda means to me is, one, panda, there's a group out there called Panda that happens to be pedophiles that I help kind of online monitor and report any unethical or unusual behavior. I've been trying to shut them down for years. I among thousands of others. Panda also happens to be a podcast. Of course, we've got the Panda from World of Warcraft, which is definitely not on this show, but anybody who plays World of Warcraft knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I just killed a couple more minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and call it for the night. Stay tuned, because Ladies of the Watch is coming in right after me. We're going to be switching, FYI, we are going to be switching time zones, time frames. I am going to Saturday nights. Ladies of the Watch is going to be on Friday nights, okay?
Just briefly, actually, until we can get the okay from John, probably next month. I've got work-related issues almost every Saturday from now through July, almost. So we're going to try to see if we can switch time frames. I know it'll be confusing, but
yeah,
once again,
and we're kind of going with
okay.
It's better to ask forgiveness and permission mantra tonight. So
yeah,
anyway.
But you don't get yelled at. I do. He's afraid of you,
John. Okay, I'll agree with you.
yes.
But he will call me a plague rat.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
afraid
be
of
safe
you.
Out there, guys and gals, and enjoy your weekend.
Bye bye.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More.
Welcome to Total Wine & More.
It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in store or online at TotalWine.com.